America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Jason Kelce, actually a pretty good lead into the Pettycast. We do the Pettycast every Tuesday. It's Petty Tuesday on the Payne and Pendergast show. We get petty. We highlight pettiness. And if you want to weigh in with your petties, 713-572-4610. Some of you weighing in on conflict law, which we just asked for. We asked for you guys to weigh in. We'll get to some of your texts as well about the Jason Kelce smashing the phone situation. But first, Seth, I am going to get petty, laughing out loud, LOLing about something right now. I don't know if you saw this, but Gerrit Cole opted out of his deal with the Yankees a couple days ago. And the terms and conditions were, hey, I'm going to opt out. The Yankees can bring Gerrit Cole back, though, if they agree to tack on another year at $36 million at the end of his deal. He's still got 4 years, $140 million left on his deal with the Yankees. He opts out of that deal, trying to get the Yankees to play chicken and give him another $36 million. And the Yankees apparently yesterday said, no, we're okay. If you want to hit free agency, knock yourself out. Obviously thinking he's not going to get 4 years, $140 million on the open market. Or feeling like he doesn't want to go play somewhere else for more money. But the Yankees played Gerrit Cole's little game of chicken and said, no, go ahead, hit free agency. And Gerrit Cole's like, no, wait, hold on.
For Pete's sake,
bring me back. And they so the two sides basically agreed to put their weapons down and say, fine, just come on back for the 4 years, $140 million. Like, Gerrit Cole's like, just kidding. I'm not opting out. Sorry.
Yeah.
I love that Gerrit Cole got into a game of chicken with the Yankees, and the Yankees didn't flinch. And Gerrit Cole, now granted, a very well-compensated moron, but he looks a little bit like a moron right now.
Yeah, I guess so. Juan Soto's probably going to be gone. What are the odds on Juan Soto being back?
With the Yankees, I mean, they're in the top three, I think. The Mets supposedly are ready to make him a King's Ransom offer. So we'll see.
He was not. He pulled a little bit of a Gerrit Cole himself in the closeout game there when they lost. Or not the closeout game, but the game they lost the World Series. Just sitting by himself in the dugout afterwards was very much like, oh, no, there's, you know, team in the league is open.
Come on, suitors, let's go.
No loyalty here to this loser org.
Right.
Like, it's fun. It's fun in the regular season and everything, but these guys suck in the playoffs.
Very
have you guys noticed?
Very
have you not gotten tired of this?
Very Cole-like. So that's my first personal petty is I enjoyed watching Gerrit Cole kind of like have to go back with his tail between his legs to the Yankees and say, okay, fine. Give me my 4 years, 144, for Pete's sake. The game between the Saints and the Panthers, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but that may as well have been the petty bowl between two bad teams. Michael Thomas going after Derek Carr with a ton of tweets after the game, after Derek Carr led Chris Olave right into a medicine ball, right into a medicine shot, a hospital ball. And Michael Thomas, former Saints receiver, immediately took to Twitter during the game and went off on Derek Carr. I'm not going to read all the tweets, but the best one was when he called Derek Carr ass on my granny. That was the best of the tweets. He's not going to top any of those. He called him granny ass, basically. Like, shriveled, wrinkled ass is what.
Oh, no. I think, yeah, like, on my granny is, like on God. Like, I think he was saying.
Oh,
like,
on my granny. Oh, okay.
He's ass, like, on my granny.
I like my version of it better.
Like, on my mother's soul, I would say, yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just took it as, like, Derek Carson's just ass. He is wrinkled octogenarian ass is what he is.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I like that. So you had that. Then you had other, like, social media was on fire. Like, you had Chris Olave's brother, Josh Olave, tweeted out, bro just called, he's up and active with the prayer hands. And then somebody retweets, it says, might be time to have that is it worth it talk. And Josh Olave, Chris Olave's brother, replies to it and says, ain't worth it in New Orleans, I'll tell you that. So you've got the brother of one of their more prominent, one of their only core young guys there in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Basically saying he needs to get up and out of there in New Orleans. And I'm guessing if the brother's saying it, that they've had this conversation between the two of them, Chris Olave and Josh Olave, before.
Yeah. Look, New Orleans is in, they're in this long funk of trying to dig themselves out of all of
that's
their
a bad job for whoever takes it.
Salary cap maneuvering and everything. It's just, yeah. It's going to be that least appetizing destination, I think,
that's
for
someone
a couple
on,
years.
Yeah, that's someone on a cash grab taking that job.
Yeah.
Then there's Lonnie Johnson, former Texan, former Saint, now a Carolina Panther, who tweeted at Cam Jordan and said, damn, bro, so are we last or y'all last? Because they're both 2-7 now.
Yeah.
And now Carolina's got the tiebreaker over New Orleans. So technically, Carolina's not even in last place anymore. Kalen Saunders, an offensive tackle for the Saints, retweets and says, LMAO, Lonnie, brother, shut your weak ass up. We'll both be in Cabo January 10th. SMH, I know we ain't in no who's in last place argument. This is absurd. No, Kalen, you are, because Lonnie Johnson is absurd. Well, that's why you're in this argument.
And Lonnie, man. I was hoping it was going to work out for Lonnie here in his second go around. By the way,
never. Came
I thought
close.
He did a lot of good things in camp that were, you know, Lonnie Johnson like he was showing up and being aggressive appropriately, not getting flagged for it. He wasn't making boneheaded decisions.
Yet in the fourth quarter of every preseason game, there he is. He's out there running around with the fours and the fives. It was whatever. I'm with you. I thought he did some good things, but never made a dent. If there's a petty cast, then we must include HOA Florio in it. He's petty all the time. You pointed this out to me, that he's got a new co-celebre. And it is Tom Brady being held to the rules for owners while he is on commentary, while Brady is on commentary. Here was Brady being critical of the referees. I believe this was the Brian Branch ejection in the Packers-Lions game. And Brady being very critical of the officials here.
I don't love that call at all. I mean, obviously it's a penalty, but to me, that has to be serious intent in a game like this.
Conduct, defense number 32. An additional 15-yard penalty, first down and Green Bay.
Holy cow.
Holy cow. Mike Florio wrote a piece. It wasn't even really about this, but he just took like a paragraph at the end. I'm trying to open the link right now, and I'm having trouble doing it. But he basically just at the end said, because the piece was about Brian Branch's ejection that he wrote about.
Yeah.
It says NFL ejects Brian Branch for hit on Bo Melton of the Packers. And at the end he says, an interesting wrinkle to the play. Tom Brady, calling the play on Fox, said he disagreed with the league's decision to eject Branch. Brady's a minority owner of the Raiders and is subject to the same rules as all team personnel, which restrict any criticisms of the league or its officials. Branch might not be the only one who gets in trouble with the league offices.
Yeah,
this is as HOA and petty as it gets.
It is. It's like sticking your nose into, like, all right, I don't know if anybody actually really cares about this stuff, but you really want to prop it up. I would say, like, in defense of Brady, it wasn't. There's one thing. There's a difference between criticizing a decision and criticizing the officials, and that's subjective. You know, you could argue about whether, you know, they're one and the same. But I don't think I was watching it in real time, and I never felt like Brady was going above and beyond and criticizing the officials or anything. It was just I think he doesn't agree with the way the policy is and the way that the way it's going. So yeah, I don't. I would say. No, zero. But I give I give Florio credit for trying to get his clicks and for being petty because that's his brand.
Does Florio have a whiteboard in his office where he keeps track of all his different causes that he's trying to represent right now? Like, is he
when
still
when it comes
on
to rules and regs?
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think
and he's
a
lawyer.
Got a spreadsheet.
Yeah, he's a lawyer.
I think when it comes to rules and regs, he's way more dialed into it, and just can't let things sit. He has to. It irks him. He has to. He has to figure out exactly whether everybody's toeing the line.
James Franklin.
Florio, the other big thing Florio is just weirdly concerned about is the alternate broadcasts. He doesn't. He somehow acts like Peyton Manning being on ESPN2 is like Peyton Manning wielding his big stick or something.
Yeah.
He didn't. He turned his nose down at the Simpsons broadcast, which was an alternate broadcast.
Yep.
Yeah, he doesn't like any of that.
James Franklin, the head coach at Penn State, if you recall, he was in a press conference a couple of weeks ago where there were allegations that came out, I guess, about former players at Penn State that were involved in some bad stuff, some sexual assault stuff. And the Penn State SID came out before the press conference. This is like his middle-of-the-week press conference. And said, hey, guys, we've put out a statement about this. Coach Franklin is not going to answer any questions about it. Franklin steps up to the microphone. Very first question is about when did you find out about these allegations? Franklin doesn't even say no comment. He just walks off the stage like a child. Has the SID remind the media that he's not going to answer questions about this, and then Franklin kind enough to step back on the stage. Like, James Franklin turns me off. After the loss to Ohio State this weekend, Franklin had no problem talking, though. There's a fan yelling at him from the stands as Franklin's walking off the field, and Franklin stops to yell at him and ask him what his name is. Like, what's your name? What's your name? Tell me your name. And the guy just walked away, and Franklin walks away. He was asked about that exchange with a fan during his Monday press conference yesterday.
Someone screaming at me and my daughter within a couple feet as we're walking off the field. And I'm good with that. That comes with the territory. I asked the young man what his name was. To me, it's like posting something. If you're going to post something, post it with your picture and your name and own what you post. And if you're going to say something, own it. I just asked the gentleman what his name was. Started stuttering, backed up, and didn't say his name. So critiques and opinions come. That's part of the territory. I get it. I asked the young man what his name was.
Yeah, I agree with what he says about social media, like people putting their name on things. I just felt like, man, just get to the locker room. You don't have to.
That's the one thing. And again, like even with the Jason Kelce thing, where he turned around and a kid that was completely and totally out of line, got what he had coming to him, except that. Yeah, ideally, yeah, you got to be bigger than that, and you just got to be tunnel vision as you're handling all that. Like Bill O'Brien going after the fan that was up above him.
Yeah,
it paints a picture when you're the leader, especially that you're just too hyper reactive,
right?
You know, and that you're not focused on the things you should be focused on.
Yeah, and it just the visual of that juxtaposed to the visual of him just walking off the set of a press conference like a child because the questions were tough. James Franklin, by the way, 1-14 against top 5 teams, 3-18 against top 10 teams at Penn State. Now, granted, those are really good teams that he's playing. I would venture to say very few coaches have even a winning record, let alone a mediocre record against top 5 teams. But that is what has him in trouble with the fan base right now.
I don't know. I kind of like, yeah, and he didn't. If he had done this when they were riding on the top of the world, he'd be hailed as a hero for it. They would be lifting him up as somebody who stands for all that's right in America. And yet, you can't do it when you're a loser.
No.
You just can't do it when you're a loser.
Can't do it. People weighing in on the text page, we asked the question, was Jason Kelce justified in throwing and smashing that kid's phone who used a gay slur talking about Travis Kelce, Jason's brother. If you've missed the video, it's out there. We talked about it in the previous segment. Somebody weighing in, it's an exception. We asked for lawyers to weigh in.
Yeah, because I wanted to know about the fighting words doctrine.
Yeah,
the belief that you can just go up, that the First Amendment allows you to go up and say whatever you want to somebody's face.
Right.
There are, it's the old, you know, there's exceptions to that.
Yeah.
In the way. So the fighting words doctrine is like, listen, you're not released from all consequences when you flat out go up to somebody's face and say, hey, you're insult somebody's brother or do something that might be construed as fighting words.
Yep.
Yeah.
it's an exception and or defense to assault. Fighting words, proper noun, is what it's called in Texas. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see here. And then there's somebody else saying that they don't like you and I opining on policy.
Well, yeah, he said you guys don't know anything about the First Amendment.
Let me read the text so people know. Okay. You two have got to stop acting like you know anything about government or policy. First Amendment doesn't say, quote, unless they say it to your face.
Yeah, okay, quote. You're an idiot, okay? You're an absolute idiot because this is two things. One is that, not you, Sean, the guy texting that in.
I know.
One, I openly said, lawyers, please explain this and tell me if I'm correct on this or not. So I was admitting that I'm not a First Amendment scholar. Two, it's not about what the First Amendment says specifically and whether it addresses every single issue. It's how the courts have interpreted it. And this is going back to like the early 20th century. So go die. Go die with you like casting aspersions about my knowledge of the First Amendment when you wouldn't even address the fighting words doctrine, which I brought up.
Yeah.
You, sir, are not fit for the text line.
Thank you.
Not like the other paragons of First Amendment knowledge we have on the text line. Yes.
By the way, it's the 5 Hour Energy fan line. 5 Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans.
Just like the First Amendment doesn't specifically say that you can't walk into a crowded movie and yell fire.
Yeah.
And yet you're not allowed to do that. Right. Yeah. It's the way the courts interpret the First Amendment.
Someone's saying they need a segment.
Take a damn high school civics class, you clown.
Someone is.
My God.
Someone's saying they need a segment where I translate the latest slang. And it says cranny ass. I think my interpretation of it is more insulting. It's, you know, that's how I feel. Someone says Sean's getting old. No kidding.
I like that I'm looked at as the young one in the bunch.
You're hip.
I know how the kids talk.
You're hip AF.
So. Yeah.
All right. That was the petty cast. Text in your petties. We'll read some of them in the next segment. Let's circle back to the Texans. I had four questions going into yesterday. How did D'Amico Ryans do answering my questions? Do I feel like I have been satisfied with where the Texans are in these four areas, including the trade deadline? And there was a big one made that affects the Texans on Sunday, and we'll get to all that coming up next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, questions coming into this week for the Texans and the Lions on Sunday. Sunday Night Football, you can hear the game here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get two of these out of the way real quick. D'Amico Ryan, status on Nico Collins this week?
Yeah, we'll continue to evaluate Nico throughout the week, see where he is.
Okay, how about Will Anderson Jr. and his ankle injury?
Yeah, we're still evaluating Will, see how he progresses throughout the week.
Okay, so we got those two out of the way. Learn more on Wednesday about those two,
which is what I would have expected. Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to disclose all of that stuff. The practice report will tell us more than... So if Will Anderson and Nico Collins aren't practicing on Wednesday, I'll be in panic mode.
Yeah.
It won't be a full blown panic yet, but it's gonna be. It'll be a hefty Marge Simpson.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think minimum they've got to be limited. For me to feel good, they have to be at a minimum limited and practicing on Wednesday.
Limited participant, yes. Questionable.
Yeah.
That's a good stuff right there.
That is, yeah. It's enough to keep me optimistic, at least, I guess. Jared Patterson is the other one. D'Amico was not asked about Jared Patterson, but he's in the concussion protocol, so that'll be another one to keep an eye on when Wednesday rolls around this week.
Yeah, I think that somebody was probably going to ask about Jared Patterson, but by the time D'Amico answered about Will Anderson, they're probably like, okay, that's yours. I'm not going to waste a question on getting another, like, hey, it's day by day. Yeah,
yeah, maybe so. And the Patterson one might be one that you're a little more restricted on what you can and can't say, even because it's concussion related.
Yeah, the coaches are out of the loop completely.
Yeah,
even if the news is good, the coach is still going to give the boilerplate.
It's like where they are. Standard. I mean, there's specific steps to where
he's
they are.
He's working his way through the protocol. We just take our guidance from the doctors.
That's it. The other big question coming into this week, and this is a big question for today. 3 o'clock today is the NFL trade deadline. And if you missed the news earlier, the Texans' opponent on Sunday, the Detroit Lions, already really good, got better today. They swapped some day three picks and in the process got Za'Darius Smith from the Cleveland Browns. So they lose Aiden Hutchinson a few weeks ago to a nasty season-ending broken leg. They pick up Za'Darius Smith, who's not like a perennial Pro Bowler or anything, but he's one of these guys that probably has stumbled his way into double-digit sacks multiple times throughout his career on the four teams that he's been on in the NFL. As far as the Texans go at the trade deadline, here was D'Amico Ryans when he was asked about the possibility of making a move. He was asked about this yesterday.
Yeah, my opinion is always the same on that. I mean, we're with Nick and his staff, we're always looking to make our team as good as we could possibly be, right? Do we have a heightened sense of just making a move just to make? No, we're always looking to add to our team, add to our depth. That's something we do constantly throughout the year. So there isn't just a mad rush now at the trade deadline for us to change our approach and how we go about managing our roster. Our roster management doesn't change. Right? We're always looking to upgrade.
What would you say to a Texan fan who walked up to you at 3:01 p.m. today, Seth, right after the trade deadline? And if the Texans make no moves, they're angry about that.
I think they've got a right to be. I think that the Caserio hasn't been active at the trade deadline much at all. The only time he's really made a notable move since he's been here is when they traded away Mark Ingram a couple years ago to the Saints. And I think the difference is that this year they are, at least on paper, should be Super Bowl contenders. They're not performing that way right now. But you have one really glaring weakness, which is at left guard. And you didn't do anything to address it in the offseason. You thought, okay, we're going to see what Kenyon Green has. And then, you know, we've got Jarrett Patterson. We want to see what he has. Kendrick Green's at least a veteran. I wouldn't call him like a bona fide veteran because he hasn't played a whole lot in the NFL. But I would say that, yeah, they should be upset. I mean, honestly, just sticking in a journeyman caliber actual veteran left guard at this point is a 100% improvement over what they've been getting at left guard.
Yeah.
So, and now the thing that could change is if Jarrett Patterson steps in and ends up being just fine. But it's a big gamble. We've already played this game with Kenyon Green, and because you played it for the full first half of the season, just waiting to see if Kenyon Green was going to get good, you missed your opportunity to find out if Jarrett Patterson or Kendrick Green can do it.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, a lot of the stuff we don't know are, okay, what are teams asking for some of these guys? And, you know, all we have to go on are the trades that actually have been made. I will say a lot of the trades that have been made already, if you had asked me to guess the price on certain players, I would be guessing a round or two above what they've been going for. Like DeAndre Hopkins, I think you and I were guessing when that trade went down. That trade went down right before our show last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. And before the trade compensation had come down, I think you and I were both like, yeah, probably a third. No, it was a fifth that could go to a fourth. You know, Cam Robinson is a left tackle who has been franchise tagged before. He went for a sixth to Minnesota, who needed a replacement for Duracell, who went out for the year. You know, like even Devontae Adams. You know, Devontae Adams is one of the five best wide receivers in football over the last 5 years. He went for a third that could become a second. You know, like it's just like the trades that have actually been made have been at much lower prices, for lack of a better word, than I thought there would be, which makes me wonder, the guy, you know, so the guys, the trades that aren't getting made, like I wonder what, like, if Nick were to call the Browns about one of their two guards, either Betonio or Wyatt Teller, like, what are they looking for? Like, if they're asking for a, would you do a second round pick for one of those guys, Seth? If left guard is that big a need for this
guard,
team?
No, I don't want to.
And the Brown, Wyatt Teller's a Pro Bowler, and Joel Betonio is like a fixture of the city there on that offensive line, you know?
Yeah. Honestly, depending on the caliber, because I've kind of been like the Brandon Scherff is a name that's out there a lot from the Jaguars. I don't think it would happen because it's within the division.
Yeah.
But he's still a good enough average guard. He's a guy that was an all-pro like 5-6 years ago, but he's 33 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Wyatt Teller, just, I don't think he hasn't been the same guy, but he's definitely better than Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
And he's only 29 years old. That's where I would feel like, okay, for a 29-year-old guard who's a competent guard right now on this team, give me a second round. I'll give up a second round pick for him.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. It's just crazy to think.
For guard.
Right. Like, before the season, if you just blindly said the Texans at the trade deadline will trade a second-round pick for a guard.
I mean, it's like, it's water in the desert, man. It becomes a lot more expensive. Water in the desert or water in the airport. You're going to pay $9 for glorified tap water.
Gladly. Okay? And you'll do it. And you'll do it and not even think about it. Someone says on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. I want to add the Texans injury report to the petty cast. Why are they trying to be the Astros of football?
Yeah, well, the way Christian Harris has been handled has been the frustrating thing.
Yeah.
I actually felt a little bit better about that after the last time we talked to Nick Caserio, just because, you know, he laid out the timeline of it. And with Christian Harris, it is true that, you know, they did try to bring him back during camp a couple times. So at the onset of it, I don't think they expected it to be as bad as it was. But yeah, once they put him on IR, I would have appreciated maybe a little bit more clarity.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of insight into exactly what we should expect and whether this could be really bad, because it's turned into a really bad thing. He's been gone a long time.
Okay. The question, I hate doing this because I'm looking up at the TV and it's a, I mean, if this is a real question, then the Texans just shouldn't even show up on Sunday for the Lions game. The question they're asking right now on Get Up is Lions or the field to win the Super Bowl this season?
They trade
for Za'Darius Smith this morning, and the Lions, who I have said they are the best team in football, we'll find out at 9 o'clock what the experts think about the Lions when we power rank the power rankings at the top of the hour. We'll find out. I'm guessing the Lions are going to be number one in at least two of the four that we use for that exercise. But come on, man.
It's always the field.
It's always the field. I don't care how dominant a team, especially in football, when it's a one and done thing. You know, like basketball, best of seven, or baseball, best of seven, the better teams win more often.
If you're looking at it objectively right now, just like postseason probabilities from various places, let's see, I'm on playoffstatus.com.
Yeah.
The Lions are the second most favorite to win the Super Bowl right now at 16%.
Oh, no. With Za'Darius Smith, Seth. He adds another 30.
Oh, that's right. Now it's
35%.
Yeah.
Silly question. If anybody here is saying Lions, they should be kicked off of TV.
It's the Texans. Texans still have a 4% chance of winning the Super Bowl, according to playoffstatus.com.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now, too. What's their percentage chance to make the playoffs? Is it still like 98%?
To make the playoff, it doesn't have, this only has conference, round one.
Yeah, round.
94%.
Yeah. So they'll,
55% chance of making the second round, 24% chance of the conference championship.
I guess that what I would say is, like, the Texans, for those of you who are concerned about the Texans and their problems right now on the offensive line, and you have every right to be concerned, I am concerned about it. Ross Tucker did not help earlier today when he highlighted it as the biggest takeaway, the biggest concern from that Jets game, and he used the word spooked for CJ. Like, CJ is spooked right now when he's in the pocket in Ross's eyes. I would say that they're, especially thanks to the Minnesota win over Indianapolis, they're still in a really good spot. You still have a two-game lead with a tiebreaker over the Colts. The other two teams in the division are a total non-factor. The Jags and the Titans are doing nothing. You still have three games left against those two teams. And you know the Cowboys just lost Dak Prescott for that game. You're still in a really good spot right now. The problem is, if you want to get to where this team was thinking they were built to get to, you're not in the same category right now as the Lions, the Chiefs, nor the Ravens, and you're going to get confirmation of that if you keep playing this way over the next 2 months, because you play all three of those teams.
Yeah, yeah. So. And so this is the grindhouse of the Texans' schedule with like nice little respites in between. You find out a lot between now and Christmas.
Yeah.
The Christmas day will be, boy, there's a lot riding on just how enjoyable my Christmas is, Sean.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be at NRG Stadium on Christmas Day, boy, in my mind, all off season or once the schedule is announced, I was like, oh boy, it's going to be a huge game.
Yep.
It's going to be the Texans potentially pushing for a Super Bowl. If they don't pick it up over these next few weeks, it's going to turn into just the most depressing Christmas ever.
Yep. That's
ever. Yeah, I know there's some of you out there who, oh, your house burned down, you know, when you were 12 years old on Christmas Day. No, mine will be worse.
Yeah.
And mine will be worse.
Happy birthday, Jesus. We lost to the Ravens by 3 touchdowns. There you go.
Yeah, you're making me think these thoughts on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Can we not remember what the holiday is all about?
Thanks for nothing. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. There was a firing yesterday. Is this job at post-Bill O'Brien level Texans job, this job that opened up yesterday in the NFL, and who's the favorite for the next coach to be fired? How are Seth and I doing on our coaching firing picks? We'll get to that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, couple quick news items. Trade went down. Khalil Herbert, running back to the Bears, is going to the Bengals. So the Bengals are acting like buyers right now. They are 4-5. They're on the outside looking in the playoff race, but they are, I would say, ascending right now. I think there's a decent chance the Bengals sneak into the playoffs. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones told 105.3 The Fan that Dak Prescott is likely to be placed on IR due to his hamstring injury, which would mean, as we all know here, he would be missing a minimum of 4 games. That would include the Texans game on Monday night, November the 18th. So it looks like confirmation that there will be no Dak on that Monday night game.
This is where I am right now. That as we sit here hours away from the trade deadline with very little anticipation of the Texans making any move. At least according to, you know, Aaron Wilson and Jonathan Alexander have both basically said don't expect anything. They're not hearing anything. So we'll see. There might be a surprise. What I would hope is that, look, playing a weakened Cowboys team and beating them, it doesn't do anything to help you feel better about this team's Super Bowl chances. But if Jarrett Patterson is learning how to play left guard, or maybe they're going with Kendrick Green, whatever it might be, this at least gives you a little bit more leeway that, all right, one of those games that the Cowboys game already doesn't look as fearsome as you might have thought in the offseason. But now, this is a very winnable game without Dak Prescott. And in this period where maybe you're breaking in Jarrett Patterson, you can get some victories, but not necessarily be firing on all cylinders. Then, I'm happy about that. It doesn't all of a sudden make it feel like, oh yeah, now this is the key to where the Texans get back on track. This Lions game just looms way larger.
It does.
In my mind.
But man, if you can, I mean, you're at home, you're good coming off losses so far. Hopefully, you get a couple guys back. If you are able to win this game, man, you got a depleted and downtrodden Dallas team. You've got Tennessee at home after that.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then you've got at Jacksonville, and then the bye week. I mean, if you're able to win this Lions game, there's a real opportunity here. Now, this will get played back to me if they end up, you know, losing this game and losing to the blah, blah, blah. I get it.
I'm recording it on my phone right now.
I get it. But the fact of the matter is, following this Lions game, you've got 3 very winnable games coming up. You know what I mean?
Like, right. That's where the key, it's almost, this is a weird spot I'm in and as a football fan right now, Sean. There's a part of me that I know that I'm going to be petty and cynical and skeptical. So if the Texans, I'm almost more upset that Dak Prescott is injured, because if the Texans lose to the Lions and if they don't put up a fight, then I'm going to go into that Cowboys game without Dak Prescott, and nothing will appease me.
Right.
There's almost nothing they can do that'll make me feel better about the Lions'
That's
loss.
Right.
So there's almost a part of me that was like, gosh, well, at least if Dak Prescott was there and they get killed by the Lions, at least they could maybe do something to make me feel better the next week.
No, you're right. There's no palate cleanser until, like, the Chiefs game, you know?
It's a self-defeating attitude I have right now.
It's
I'm kind of basically, like, setting myself up for unhappiness.
It is what it is, man.
Unless the Texans beat the Lions.
Yeah, the Texans got to beat the Lions. That's
and they
got
as long as all they do is score 48 points. That's all I'm asking.
That's all he's
versus
asking.
One of the best defenses in the league.
He's demanded.
Can you do that for me once? Can you do it for me once this season, Texans?
He's demanded two things: a trade for a defensive back and 48 points against the Lions.
I've gotten neither of those.
I don't
yet.
Know that you're going to get either of those, but we'll see. We'll see.
Oh boy, that would be glorious.
Dennis Allen fired yesterday, the New Orleans Saints head coach. Keep in mind, Dennis Allen, two games into the season, toast of the league. Oh, look at these Saints. Oh, Dennis Allen. Why is he number one on first head coach to be fired odds boards?
Offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak. Has he been offered a head coaching job
yet?
Are they even allowed to?
That was the word.
Yeah,
not yet. I don't know that.
Partly because they destroyed said Dallas Cowboys.
Correct. Yeah, correct. So Dennis Allen fired. I haven't dug into the numbers as to where they are, like specifically where they are with the salary cap and whatnot.
Yeah.
I just know that I've seen enough tweets from people who do know about these things that they are in cap hell, and there is almost no way out of cap. There's no cutting this guy or cutting that guy that gets them to where they can go win a division next year or something, like, you know what I mean? Like they are in cap hell right now. They don't have a great young core. Derek Carr is their quarterback, and the stars that they have on the team, by and large, are aging. The one young potential star they have, Chris Olave, has been concussed four times in his NFL career. Like, is this a Bill O'Brien, post-Bill O'Brien level bad job, the Saints, or is it just a one tick up from that bad job?
I think it depends. Really, I think there is a way for them, like, when you look at where they stand in comparison to other teams, it doesn't look that bad in 2026 or 2027.
Okay.
You're like, oh, but that's because, as it stands right now, they've got $61 million of they're $61 million over next year's projected cap.
Yeah.
And you might ask, okay, well, how bad is that? The next worst is the Browns at $3 million over next year's cap. So they're like, there's... So
hold up.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah. They are, Sean, they're $58 million worse than the Browns when it comes to next year's cap.
So to clarify, they are $58 million worse off than the team that has the worst contract in the history of the NFL on its books right now.
Yes. There are only three teams right now that are over next year's cap: the Seahawks, the Browns, and the Saints.
Okay.
And the Saints are 20 times more over the cap than the Browns are.
It's crazy, man. That is wild. Okay, so I'll repeat my question.
Yeah, I think it would have to be, if they want to get a name brand coach or somebody they feel really good about, I think it's somebody that says, okay, this person can withstand a 1 year, rip the Band-Aid off, do as much damage. We're gonna have to get rid of good football players.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a triple-A team out there.
Yeah.
If you really want to turn it around, it's got to be 1 year of extreme pain.
It all comes back to roost
to get on par with everybody else in the next.
Yeah, man. The Wolves come knocking at the door eventually on the salary cap stuff. Like, the people that are like, the cap, it's fake. You can do whatever. You can do any gymnastics you want with the cap. For a while you can. That's for sure. For a while you can. But you almost have to draft perfectly. You've got to have a great quarterback. Like, the Saints aren't doing any of those things anymore. They're not drafting perfectly. They don't have a great quarterback. They didn't hire a good coach this time around to follow up Sean Payton with Dennis Allen.
I think the difference is, at some point you have to come pay the piper, and it's a lot easier to do if you win a Super Bowl. Then it all feels like it was worth it. But even then, fans only have so much patience for that.
Yeah.
They generally get a GM or a head coach fired even after they've... The Broncos, Broncos won a Super Bowl and like spent heavily in free agency to do it.
Yep.
And, you know, within a few years, Elway was out on his butt and Kubiak was out on his butt.
Yeah.
It just, it only lasts, the glow only lasts so long.
If you win it all, then it that mitigates things. But they, during this era, they haven't won it all. They, same, you know, it's 2009 was when they won it. As far as odds for the next head coach to be fired, Doug Peterson's still a heavy, heavy favorite. Gerard Mayo all of a sudden is number two on the board. McCarthy is three. Then we get to some of our choices before the season. Seth, you've already won that pool because you had Robert Saleh in your group of guys. Seth and I picked four coaches before the season to get fired.
Which wasn't because
first.
I disliked Robert Saleh one bit. I just could see how dysfunctional everything was up there.
You're trying to be right. Yeah, Brian Daboll next. Shane Steichen, plus 1,200. I'm going to give you a value play right here if you want to get in on this. Next head coach to be fired, Matt Eberflus, plus 2,500 in Chicago. They are not happy in Chicago right now with Eberflus. Big reason being he left Caleb Williams in at the end of a game. They were down by 20, and Williams ends up twisting his ankle or something like that. But mostly it just feels like Eberflus has kind of lost the locker room. Here was DJ Moore, wide receiver from the Bears, on our sister station on their morning show yesterday on 670 The Score when he was asked, has Eberflus lost the locker room?
I want to say no. The message yesterday was that we know we 4-4 now. It's just like being 0-0. But you just got to go out there and start stacking wins how we did. And that's the best thing we can do is win and then let the chips fall how they fall after we do so.
I want to say no.
Yeah, I'm. What's that?
The beginning of that answer. I want to say no.
Right. Pretty, yeah, that's. Some people interpreted it as I won't say no because you kind of slurred it. He said, "Oh, I'm going
to play it one more time, Ben. Let's try to interpret."
I want to say no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, either way, it's not good. I won't say no is really bad.
I don't want to say no.
I don't want to say no. Yeah.
So he said, "I don't want to say no." Or I'm going to say no versus I don't want to say no. I'm going to say no. He didn't sound emphatic. And then, you know what doesn't help is I fell for AI a little bit yesterday. Somebody did the Caleb Williams press conference.
Yeah. And they did you saw that? Yeah.
To where it looked like, I can't remember, he said it's time to bring in, who did he say? Which coach did he say?
Oh, I forget. Saleh was one of the names.
Yeah, it went along for a couple minutes where I was like, oh, okay. For a few moments where I'm like, oh, okay, this is a real press conference. And then he started in with a bunch of stuff. So that skewed my brain up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's the writing's on the wall there for defensive-minded head coach Matt Eberflus, and with Caleb Williams not getting the protection that he needs.
Is that a job? When Ben Johnson, the OC for the Lions, has been ultra-choosy about where he's going to go?
Yeah.
That's a job he should take if he gets offered that job.
It probably is. I think that
if you're not going to go coach a number one pick in the draft with potential.
I think the obstacles there are going to be, okay, just how bad is this offensive line? Mm-hmm. Is it coaching or is it? And I think it might be. My old teammate Yurko, John Yurkovich, who's been on the radio forever up in Chicago.
Yeah.
He tore into Ryan Poles. Oh, we should have had it for the Pettycast.
Yeah, crap. That's
on
me.
I'll get the audio. We got to listen to this because we've pointed out before that, man, Ryan Poles, is the GM of the Bears, is a PR machine.
Yeah.
We'll play that, but he basically was saying that Ryan Poles just has no ability to identify good offensive linemen, and that's going to be – so that's – I think Bears ownership has always been kind of questionable, and then I think a lot of coaches might – look at going into a situation where you've got a glamour boy GM who wants to spin the story, and he's always going to be the one who wins. He might be skeptical of that whole deal.
I could see that.
And can Ryan Poles actually do a good job when he's not actively tanking?
I could see that being a thing. All right, power ranking the power rankings. We do it next. Where do the experts have the Texans? Stay there.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.